Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. About a quarter after four, we're with you for about another hour and 15 minutes. We take you into the Indians pregame show. Jim Rosenhaus and company will take over at 5:37 and at 6:10 tonight. It'll be the Tribe and the A's down at Progressive Field. You can hear it here on AM 930 WEOL. Tomorrow, of course, is the big one as the Cavaliers in round three will begin their NBA Finals series against the Golden State Warriors. They'll tip it at 9 o'clock tomorrow. A very big Cavs fan is on the line with us right now. He's our good buddy, Al Harris, our Hollywood insider. And Al, every week, is brought to you by Salty Seas Travel Agency. Make your stress-free vacation a reality. Call Salty Seas Travel or visit their website, saltyseastravelagency.com. When the Cavs win it in six, Al's thinking about making a trip back to Cleveland, his hometown. And when he wants to fly out of LAX into Cleveland Hopkins Airport, he will certainly call Salty Seas Travel Agency. Al, how are you, my friend?
I'm fantastic, Bull. How are you doing?
Lovely. Before we get to our Hollywood stuff here, I need your prediction for the NBA Finals.
A little biased here, but I think the Cavs can pull it out. I'm going to pick them in seven again. I just think, besides the Celtics, these superpower teams usually don't win the first time around. So I'm going to kind of hope that stays true, and I think we match up pretty well against them, especially the way Kevin Love is playing right now. And Tristan Thompson can guard Draymond Green, can guard all five positions. I think we're looking good. As long as the bench plays well, I think that's pretty much the X factor in this series. I think we'll do all right. So I have us in seven.
Al, I got to ask you, you're out in Hollywood land. Are there a lot of San Francisco? Are there a lot of Golden State fans out there? Or is everyone pretty much Lakers?
It's weird. There's, it's predominantly Lakers. You have a few Clippers fans, but I think you actually have more Warriors and Cavs fans than you do Clippers fans.
Nice.
It's a very much of like a city where not a lot of people are originally from LA, where you have a ton of Cleveland people, a ton of people from the Bay Area.
Nice.
So it is, there are a couple bars I go to watch the games, and it's pretty much even like 50-50 Cavs, Warriors fans.
See, I love that. That's great stuff. We were going to bring you in and talk some Hollywood, but he gave us some fantastic stuff on the Cavs. That's one of the many reasons why we have Al on. He can give us all kinds of good stuff.
So versatile.
Extremely versatile.
And that's why I love you, boy. You just blow smoke up my butt all day long. I love it.
We can call it that or just leave it alone. Al, want to get your thoughts on the box office this past weekend. Not really a great weekend for the box office in general. I mean, any reason in particular for that? I mean, you look at Pirates of the Caribbean, it did okay, but not as good as expected. But Baywatch just totally bombed this weekend. Was it because it was a holiday weekend, nice weather across the country, or is there something we're missing here?
I don't think so. I think it's sometimes, the holiday weekends are hit or miss. Because sometimes, people have their family, they like to go see the movie, but it's a nice weekend, they like to go out, so to me, especially on Memorial Day weekend, it's kind of hit or miss. I think Pirates did, I think, as well as they probably should have. I think they'll do pretty much a lot better internationally than they will do domestically. And I think, what could have hurt them, and not really a lot of people are talking about, is there was that, leaking scandal of like some hacker group that had found it and held it ransom, so that could have definitely hurt them. Some people may have legally downloaded it and got it out there. But I don't think it did really as that bad. I think it did okay. Baywatch bombed big time, and I think I told you I was very curious about Baywatch because I wasn't sure if it was going to be like a 21 Jump Street or, as Matt and I were talking earlier, like a Brady Bunch where it took the source material, which wasn't great, and had a lot of fun with it. This one seems, based on the negative reviews, is not a good movie. And the box office seemed to really listen to that and didn't show up, which is expected.
Al, along those same lines, on those two movies, You've read the reviews on both. I actually saw Pirates of the Caribbean. I thought it was really good. I thought it was pretty funny. There are some folks that didn't take too kindly to the humor that was in there. They just didn't think that it was written very well. I'm not sure if you've had the chance to see either one of these, but you clearly have read the reviews on both of these. Why do you think they got such incredibly awful reviews? I mean, people apparently in the States anyways didn't see Baywatch, but there were a few more folks that went out to see Pirates of the Caribbean. Any idea as to why the reviews were as awful as they were?
Well, I'm going to give you a very dumb answer. Maybe just because they were bad movies. I think that's probably the way it was with Baywatch. I don't think Baywatch necessarily did bad because it was it just seems like it was poorly written, poorly executed. The only reason I even was interested in seeing that movie is based on the chemistry. I feel like Zac Efron and Rock would have good chemistry. Besides that, there's not really much to go on. And then I think with Pirates, I've never been a huge fan of the series to begin with. I thought the first one was fine, but it was a little overrated. And then the rest just kind of played off that. And I think maybe Disney was banking a little more on it being gone. I don't think the reviews of Pirates were, like, essentially terrible. They just weren't very good, which you would expect, you know, from, I guess, the fourth chapter of a huge, you know, money-making blockbuster.
I'm glad you say that, Al, because this was actually the fifth movie in it. I didn't realize there had even been a fourth one that came out.
No, I didn't either. I thought this was the fourth.
So did I. I thought Penelope Cruz apparently was in one with not Johnny Depp beforehand, but that's what I was thinking. The first three, this one seemed like one of those trilogies that actually sort of made it. People bought into it. They got into it. They followed it through one, through two, and then through three. And then it just seems like Disney, in this case. There's been other companies certainly that have. The Matrix is one that I always like to point out to, because the first one was brilliant and then it all went downhill from there, if you ask me. But I mean, is Hollywood taking note in this, or is it just, you know what, let's see how much we can get out of this turnip here?
No, because I think they're still going to do it. They're going to make money on Pirates, so it's not like a disaster like John Carter was.
Yeah.
And the fact is, you know what, you have built-in people, you have a built-in storyline. You just make another one. It's a cash grab. While The Matrix, I'm glad you brought that up, really wasn't a cash grab. It was started as a trilogy to begin with. They just weren't as interesting as the first one, because they got away from The Matrix and more of that, like, weird, you know, space storyline or whatever it was. But with Pirates, you're right. I think it was built like a trilogy, and they're like, oh, wait, we can still make money off it, and we still have Johnny Depp, who's not doing much and needs a paycheck. Let's just keep pushing these out. And you know people are going to go. While it's not killing at the box office, they're making money. It's a slow time of the season. It's a good play on their part. But, yeah, I don't care to see them. And the thing that boggles me the most with stuff like this is the talent they get involved. Like, you have Javier Bardem. Boy, I didn't see it, so I love to hear what you think about his performance. But he's
outstanding.
He's an amazing actor.
I think he stole the show. People will always talk about Johnny Depp when it comes to these movies. He was good. Javier was out of this world awesome. He was really, really good.
Yeah, I thought he's been brilliant most everything, especially Skyfall. I know that didn't get huge ratings, but I thought he was great as the villain in that.
Skyfall, I thought he was fantastic in. No Country for Old Men, he was amazing in. He's such a fantastic. What?
He was Anton Chigurh, right?
He was, yeah. He's such a fantastic actor that it's like, it pains me to see great actors like this take the money play. Like, this was obviously that for him. Same with Jeffrey Rush. It's just like, it's crazy to me that people keep doing that stuff. But, hey, the money's there. They get the talent. Why not throw it out there, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought his name up, because I was going to bring it up. I just thought he really stole the show. I thought he was fantastic. And, you know, again, it's easy to get caught up in what Johnny Depp does, because he's very, very good in so many elements of this movie. But, again, I really kind of thought that he stole the show, and he was far and away the one guy to me that when I finished watching that movie, I thought, wow, that was the performance that I think really stood out. If they're going to make this thing a bigger deal than what it really is, that would certainly be why. Again, we're talking with our Hollywood insider, Al Harris, brought to you by Salty Seas Travel Agency. Make your stress-free vacation a reality. Call Salty Seas Travel or visit their website at saltyseastravelagency.com. Well, you mentioned this is kind of a slow time of the year at the box office, Al, but there's one movie that's certainly getting a little more attention than some of the others moving into this weekend, and that would be Wonder Woman. What have you heard about this movie? Vivian, what are your expectations going into its opening weekend?
Well, I feel like every time I hear about Wonder Woman, I hear something differently. First I heard, you know, the trailer came out. I heard everyone was excited. Then I heard there was, like, some bad rumblings about it. And then last thing I heard is that it was shown for critics, and they absolutely loved it, which I think is great because I've been very disappointed with most of what DC has put out recently, kind of hitching their wagon to Zack Snyder, which I didn't necessarily agree with because I think he's a hack. But I think the fact that this does well and it shows, you know, finally a female-led superhero movie, so hopefully it does well. They can do more of those. And I'm just hoping that the critic reviews, like I said, add to the box office and it becomes a smash, because I think everyone that's a part of that deserves it, and I'm very excited to see how it actually does.
Al, I'd heard rumors that the whole Zack Snyder thing in DC, they may sort of be parting ways that way, and supposedly Joss Whedon's been rumored to be coming on to do a few more things. I know he was rumored to be the director and maybe one of the co-writers and producers for the upcoming Batgirl movie, if and when that ever comes out. And I'd heard he'd been rumored maybe with some other DC stuff in the DC universe. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, well, from what I've heard, it's not a rumor, is that he is doing Batgirl, but he also... from the parting I heard with Zack Snyder is more of like Zack Snyder having a family tragedy. I think either his sister or daughter passed away. So he tried to push through the Justice League movie, even though it already shot. He tried to push through on post. He finally relented, said he wasn't able to, just had to deal with his own personal issues. And he backed off, and now Joss Whedon is finishing the movie. While everything's shot, Joss Whedon will be there through post.
Nice.
Especially if a effects-laden movie, it's going to have a lot to do with post. So hopefully, because I am a much bigger fan of Joss Whedon and Zack Snyder, hopefully some of those flourishes from Joss Whedon show up in the final presentation.
Al, we'll cut you loose on this one, partner. Boy, Matt and I talked about this about an hour or so ago when we opened up the show. Well, one of the cool things about going into, whether it's Netflix or Roku, whatever the case may be, discovering some of those old shows that never really got picked up in syndication because they weren't really around for more than a couple of seasons. But you can go on Netflix and you can find some of those shows that were only on for maybe a season or two. When you go back and look at some of those collections, Al, are there any out there that really stand out to you, or maybe that are some that people listening are thinking, man, I'd like to go back out and check one of those shows, but again, I didn't really get a chance to see much of them. The one that stands out to me would be The Finder. I watched that entire full season. It was only 13 episodes, but I thought it was really good, but Fox never picked it up after its opening season. Any shows out there on Netflix that you might be able to suggest when you take a look at that queue?
This is the easiest question you've ever asked me. Terriers. 100% the show called Terriers. It was one season on FX. It was, I think, created by one of the members of The Shield. It's an absolutely almost perfect season of TV. Like, it is just hands down fantastic. It was one season. It stars a character actor, Donald Logue, as a private eye who used to be a cop, fell off the force, and then him and this, like, ex-con friend of his who are in a private investigation firm, who end up uncovering this huge, like, government conspiracy. And it's just, the characters are so well written. The dialogue is hilarious. The action's done well. The emotional beats are perfect. It's just like, it's one of those great shows that just not enough people saw, which is why it got canceled. And I think some of that might have to do with the bad title of Terriers, which had nothing to do with, you know, the actual show. But I 100% recommend that one. And while we're on it, I'm sure most people know this one, but Freaks and Geeks and Undeclared, both Judd Apatow's first projects, are on Netflix as well. Both only lasted a season, and both deserved a lot more. And the best thing about watching like Freaks and Geeks and Undeclared is that those shows are filled with people you now recognize, such as James Franco, Seth Rogen, Charlie Hunnam, Linda Cardellini. So, yeah, it's totally worth those three, I would say, 100%. But definitely, I know very few people actually saw Terriers, so I recommend that more than anything.
Okay, Terriers. That actually sounds pretty intriguing. I'm going to look that up tonight. Like the dog, Terriers, correct?
Like the dog, Terrier, yeah.
Okay, wow, good stuff. Al, we always love it when you come on. We had to do it a couple of days late this week because of the holiday. We also know you are a very busy man, but We're going to aim to have you on again next Monday, because every time we have you on, we get to the end of the interview and think, man, we just scratched the surface. Enjoy your weekend, my friend. Go Cavaliers tomorrow, and we'll have you on again on Monday.
I appreciate it. Go Cavs. I'll talk to you guys then.
All righty. That is Al Harris, our Hollywood insider, brought to you by the Salty Seas Travel Agency. Call Stephanie, or you can visit SaltySeasTravelAgency.com. Make your stress-free vacation a reality. To do that, you call Salty Seas Travel or visit their website, SaltySeasTravelAgency.com.